Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text comes from the gospel reading, as you just heard, specifically when Jesus says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Strive. Why does the Lord use the word strive? Strive. It means to make a great effort to achieve or to obtain something. In the context of the reading, it means to struggle. It means to fight like a runner in a race and the gun has gone off. Your adrenaline rushing, heart pumping, this agonizing feeling, kind of like how I felt walking from there to here. But the race has started. And so we strive. Strive, struggle, effort. What is Jesus talking about? I'm beginning to wonder if Jesus is even Lutheran. I wonder, didn't he go through eighth grade confirmation? Doesn't he know that we're saved by grace through faith and it has nothing to do with our works? It's got nothing to do with merit and it has nothing to do with our striving. But there it is. He says it. Strive to enter through the narrow door. And so we do, because he is Christ. And we are Lutherans. And to be Lutheran, if we've forgotten, really means to be Christian in the truest sense that we can know. And Jesus is teaching us precisely what that means today. He's teaching us to follow him. In the text for today, Jesus is teaching everywhere. He's going to all these villages and towns, and if you paid attention, he's on his way to a destination. He's going to Jerusalem, and on his way to Jerusalem, in the Gospel of Luke, his teachings become more frequent and more urgent about the kingdom of God. He becomes more direct about eternal matters the closer he gets to Jerusalem. And along the way, somebody asks him this question. They say, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And Jesus answers the question, but he doesn't answer it with a simple, "Yeah," or "No." He also doesn't just brush it aside and say, "Ridiculous question." No, Jesus answers the question, but not the one that was necessarily vocalized. He answers a deeper question, one that needs to be asked by each and every one of us. Jesus answered not as if he was answering, "Lord, will a few be saved?" He answered as if the person were asking, "Lord, will I be saved?" And he doesn't say yes or no. Can you feel it? The urgency, the seriousness in his tone? When Jesus' response is strive. Strive to enter through the narrow door. In the audience that day in the gospel reading, there was a group of Jews that would believe by their oral tradition, going back, they actually believed that all of Israel would be saved. They believed that because of their tradition, because of their heritage, going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they were automatically in. Now, they believed they would all be saved except for the blatant sinners who abandoned that heritage, like tax collectors and adulterers. Well, Jesus is challenging their understanding because they were striving, yes, they were, but they were striving to keep their heritage and their tradition pure, and Jesus is challenging that teaching. He says it's not enough to just know Abraham. It's not even enough to know Jesus. It's not enough to just know that he's the narrow door. It's not enough, as the scripture says, to even eat with him. It's not enough to hear his word even. No, they must enter through the narrow door, or they will not enter at all. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth as there has never been before. Jesus is giving the Israelites a warning and a call a call to follow him. He is teaching them to be followers of the way that leads to the narrow door. Did you pay attention? Where is he leading them in the text? He's leading them to Jerusalem. He's leading them to the cross. St. Lawrence, I wonder if sometimes when we read scripture, if we skip over the difficult teachings of Jesus because it makes us uncomfortable. In our culture, we also like to strive. I was trying to think about what it would be, and I think this is it. I think the number one thing that we strive for in our culture is, I mean, plain and simply, I think it's just happiness. We strive for happiness. We strive for comfort. We strive for success. We strive for a good reputation. We strive for popularity. So I wonder if maybe we have actually manufactured and molded a certain Jesus that fits in our striving. I wonder if we have made him into our image, so into a God that we want to worship on the weekends. And in the process of doing so, maybe we've actually neglected his urgent teachings. I don't know, maybe you've caught yourself saying something like this. Well, my Jesus just wants me to be happy. My Jesus wouldn't allow a hell to exist. No, that's not my God. No, my Jesus, he wouldn't say something like weeping and gnashing of teeth. He wouldn't say something like the door is going to be shut on the last day. That's not my Jesus. And by doing so, we've actually created our own way and our own door. Well, maybe some of us haven't even thought about these things. Maybe some of us, well, we just attend church because it's routine, because our parents make us, or maybe because it's what our family has done for years, and so we're continuing that tradition. Maybe some of us believe that because we're associated with a church, a great institution like St. Lawrence, that we're automatically in. That because we hear the word broadcasted in person or in the live stream, that we will automatically be saved. And so we strive to be involved as much as we can with the association. Some of us strive just to keep our membership intact. But just like he did for the Israelite's son, Jesus has a warning and a call for you and me. The Jesus of the scriptures says, strive to enter through the narrow door. There's only one way into the kingdom. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one truth, which, by the way, excludes all other ways. There's only one truth that brings life to all nations, to all people, north, east, south, and west. There's an invitation to the narrow door for everybody. The gospel is for everyone because, pay attention here, because the call to repentance is for everyone. Let me say that again. The gospel is for all people because the call to repentance is for all people. Now, you might say repentance, or some people outside the church might be like, repentance, that's a medieval churchy word. What is that? And so repentance, the way we're talking about it, the way it means in scripture is to change your heart and mind and the way that you're going and to turn back to the Lord your God. It's not just saying sorry. It's turning your life, your heart, and your mind back to the Lord God, just like in the Old Testament, when God constantly called the Israelites, you stiff-necked people, turn back to the Lord your God. That's repentance. And contrary to the way that the world views it, repentance, they might say, oh, repent, to live a life of repentance? What? That just sounds constraining. What a churchy kind of thing. It's constraining. But what they don't understand, what the world does not understand, is that repentance, to live a life of repentance, actually frees you. I don't know, maybe you're beginning to see it a little more clearly now that when in the gospel it said narrow door, it didn't mean a literal little tiny door that you have to sidestep and wiggle through. It's a narrow door because not everyone answers the call to repent, to change their ways. Our pride takes such a strong hold of us that we actually believe we know better than the Creator himself. So why does Jesus use the word strive? Well, because it really is a fight. It really is a struggle against our own sinful nature and against the real enemy and a real evil power that's out there, Satan. He uses that word strive because we walk in danger all the way. We have an enemy that does not sleep. We have an enemy that does not want us to turn back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan lies to us, making us actually believe that we can DIY this thing, that we can do it ourselves, that we can handle it ourselves. We don't. You don't need saving, he says. You don't need a change. You don't need to repent. And he actually tempts you. Satan tempts you with a heart of rebellion against your own Father. And if that's not enough, our own sin creeps around, lurking in the shadows, and it takes hold of us. And as it strangles us, it whispers to us saying, you're fine. You're perfect just the way you are. You don't need to change. So many of us continue down this path of striving in our own way, striving after worldly things. But the scripture is clear. To strive after those ways and roads leads us down a path of destruction and ultimately to a place of rage and hatred and confusion and weeping and gnashing of teeth when you're there at the last day and the door is shut and you're striving to enter into the kingdom, but you're caught on the outside and you don't know why. Yes, it's a warning. Jesus is calling you and me to turn back to him and to follow him to the narrow door because it's the only way. He's calling us to strive. So what does Jesus mean when he says the word strive? Strive how and strive to what? It's very simple. To strive to the narrow door means this. At the core, it means this. It means to be Christian. Now that word Christian, I know, evokes a lot of definitions for you, a lot of imagery, a lot of things, new obedience, what we should be doing, all the good that we should be doing as Christians in this world. But what I want to talk about is the first step, the initial step in what it means to be Christian every day. The first step we take and what it means to live a life as a Christian. It means to live a life of repentance. We are to strive to live a life of repentance and remember how the world views this and remember that it actually sets you free. It's a beautiful life when the weight is lifted off your chest and the constraint of sin is loosened and you can actually breathe for the first time. Because by repenting, you are actually following Jesus. And if you follow him, St. Lawrence, do you know where Jesus takes you? He takes you to the event that took place in Jerusalem. He takes you to the cross. He takes sinners who are nothing, who are last. He takes you and me. He takes our sin, he bears our sin, and he makes us first. He takes us to the place of the cross. He takes us to the place where the door was shut, but not with us on the outside. He takes us to the place where the door was shut, but with he himself, Jesus Christ, casted on the outside and banging on the door, calling out for his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He takes us to that place where he heard no response, where he was treated like he was sin itself. He was cast out in your place so that you could recline at the table in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he loves you. And St. Lawrence, we have never seen a love like this. He rose again on the third day, but not with a vengeance. He rose again with power on the third day, but not with hatred or anger against the enemies that killed him, against his own people that put him on the cross. He didn't rise back to demolish them and to crush them like any one of us would have. He rose again with something in his hands, an immeasurable amount of forgiveness. He came back to immerse the world in his love. He came back, St. Lawrence, to tell you that no matter what sin you've done in the past, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, what you have done, your sin is gone. And the kingdom is yours. So strive. Strive to be last because he makes you first. Struggle to be nothing, to be the least, and go to the cross every day and see how Jesus loves to forgive. The door is open. It's open for you. And there's a seat at the table with your name on it, so come all you sinners. I wonder what guilt weighs heavy on your heart right now. What habitual sin needs to die today? Confess it and strive to be forgiven. It is the only way, because here it is. Here's the answer to everything. His forgiveness is the narrow door. It's not enough to just say that Jesus is the narrow door. It's his saving action. His forgiveness is the narrow door. So actually come and be Christian. Walk with him to the cross daily and confess your sin to him along the way, because there's no sin too great. And see how beautiful it is to live with Jesus, who always, always, always forgives. Amen.